Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the beginning of the new perek, the fourth perek, the Mishnah Toraf Bekalfi. On the side of our Gemara, we have a brief introduction, the nosei, the topic heading, Bitsua Ha'agrola, the execution, the fulfilling of the drawing of the lots. These are the lots that determine which one of the two goats will be the Sor Lashem and which one will be the Sor Lazozel. It shall be noted that this Mishnah, in effect, is a continuation of the Mishnah that we had back on Daf Lamed Zayin, where the Kohen Gadol approached the two goats positioned in the eastern part of the Azora, as was described there. So once he's standing near the goats and there is the urn containing the two lots, the Mishnah here begins, Toraf Bekalfi Vehelo Shnei Gorolos. The word Toraf, it seems that there are different explanations. According to Rashi, it would seem that he is grabbing upon the lots that are inside the urn. Rashi says, Pisom betrifo bechatifa. Chatifa means to grab something suddenly. There's another explanation on the side that says it irbev, means he mixes them up. The urn itself, we'll see later, was not very large. It held only these two lots, as were described back on Daf Lamed Zayin, and as far as what it means to mix them up in something of such close confines is something that requires maybe some more explanation. Nevertheless, Toraf Bekalfi is now going to be drawing the lots, Vehelo Shnei Gorolos, and he pulls up he is referring to the Kohen Gadol. He draws the two lots. We'll see an opinion later in the Gemara that the two lots were drawn by two people, not just the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol drawing one, and the Sgan drawing the other. But our Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol draws both lots. One of them, Echad Kosev Olav Lashem, Echad Kosev Olav Lazozel. On one of them, the Lashem, that means the name of the Almighty is written, and it says Lashem, that this lot is going to correspond to the goat that will be offered as a sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash. And the other one, Lazozel is a reference to a harsh region. It's a cliff that is outside Yerushalayim, to the east of Yerushalayim, where the animal was eventually pushed off the cliff, and in its death it takes with it, so to speak, the sins of Israel. Hasgan bimino v'rosh beis av mismolo. The skan, the replacement or assistant Kohen Gadol, in the event that some disqualification befalls the Kohen Gadol, so the skan would take over. So the skan is to the Kohen Gadol's right, and the rosh beis av mismolo, to his left. The rosh beis av is the head of that family group of Kohanim that would be serving that day in the Beis Hamikdash. Im shel shem ola b'yamino, if the lot indicating Lashem is drawn by his right hand, hasgan oimer lo, then the skan announces ishi kohen gadol hagbei yamincha. He would say, Sir Kohen Gadol, raise your right hand. V'im shel shem ola b'smolo, if the Lashem comes out in his left hand, then Rosh Beis Av Omer Lo Ishi Kohen Gadol Hagbei Smolcha. Then he would make the announcement, and the Skan, as we saw before, was standing to the Kohen Gadol's right, and the Rosh Beis Av standing to his left. But the announcement is made concerning the raising of the lot that says Lashem. Nosnon Al Shnei Hasi'irim. The lots were then placed on the two goats. The Omer Lashem Chatos, and he would announce that this Lashem is a sin offering to be offered to the Almighty. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Lo Hayatzorach Lomar Chatos. Rabbi Shmuel says he wouldn't announce the word Chatos Elo Lashem. Again, these two goats, as we saw back in on Daf Lamed Zayin, were already positioned right there. So the right hand lot would be placed on the right hand goat, and the left hand lot placed on the left hand goat. V'hein onin achrov, and they would announce. The people in the Azora would then, after hearing the ineffable name of the Almighty recited, they would respond, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam V'Ed. Blessed be the honor of the kingdom of Hashem forever. Lomali Torah B'Kalfi. What is the necessity of Torah B'Kalfi? And if we use the explanation of mixing it up, so this will be easier to understand. Why was there this shaking of the urn? Kihechi delo nichvin v'lishkol, so that he shouldn't aim and with foreknowledge take in his right hand the one that is Lashem. As Rashi says, the Lashem coming up in the right hand is a good sign. The right is associated with that which is strong, that which is positive. And we want to avoid things looking, let's say, pre-arranged. So this torah, this mixing up, is what is done ahead of before the drawing of the lots. Omar Rova, Kalfi shel eitz hoisa v'shel chol hoisa v'eino machzekes elo shtei yodayim. 3 points are made here. Rova says that the kalfi, the urn that held the lots, was made of wood. Shel chol means it was an unsanctified vessel. And eino machzekes el shtei yadayim means it would hold only two hands. There was 2 hands worth of room in the urn. Maskif lo Ravina. Bishlamo, Ravina asks regarding these points. He says, Bishlamo, the third point, eino machzekes el shtei yadayim. I understand the need for having it rather confined. Ki hechi delo lichvin velishkoil, so that there's no chance of maneuvering your hands to take the Lashem in the right hand. Elo shel chol, but that the urn was made of, was unsanctified. Niktisha, why not have it sanctified? The Gemara answers, Im kain have lei kli shores shel eitz, if it would be sanctified, so then you'd have a wooden service vessel, and that can't be. Kli shores de eitz lo avdina. We don't make wooden service vessels. The Gemara asks, well, you can get around that problem easily enough. Navdo de kesev, navdo de zov. Why not make the urn of silver or of gold? The Gemara says, HaTorah chosa al mamoinon shel Yisrael. The Torah shows compassion regarding the wealth of the Jewish people, so that if you can get away with something less, so then do so. Now, this is true as far as the urn is concerned, being that it was used for holding the lots, as opposed to vessels that were needed in the sacrificial service, vessels to hold blood, vessels that hold the mincha, the meal offerings. They were there, and they were there to sanctify that which was put into their interior. And as such, they had to be made of metals, these valuable metals, so as to serve as a kli shoreis that can sanctify its contents. But here we're talking about the urn holding the lots, and the lots were not part of the actual sacrificial offering. There's more to say on this topic later in the Gemara, when the Gemara discusses, is the drawing of the lots something that is ma'akev in the first place? Is it a binding activity without which the korban would not be effective? Something to be discussed later. Masnisen delo ki hai tano. Our Mishnah is not in accordance with the following Tanaic source, Desanyo. And we alluded to this earlier. This source will show that the drawing of the lots isn't done exclusively by the Kohen Gadol. And on the side of the Gemara, we have as our noseh, our topic heading, Machlokes Tanoim, Mi Hichnis Yodom Lakalfi. There is a Machlokes Tanoim regarding who puts their hand into the urn. So our source continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Eliezer says, Hasgan v'Kohen Gadol Machnisin Yodon Bakalfi. Compare this, we have an arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text with the arrow above. There, the Mishnah said, V'he'elah, the Kohen Gadol himself picked out the Shnei Goros, both Goros. Here, you have two people, the Skan and the Kohen Gadol, putting their hands into the Kalfi. We should point out that each one is putting their own right hand into the Kalfi. You have two right hands into the Kalfi, into the urn. Im bimino shel Kohen Gadol Ola, if the Lashem is chosen by the Kohen Gadol, by his draw with his right hand, Haskan Omer Lo, then the Skan announces, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hagbei Yimincha. He says, Sir Kohen Gadol, raise your right hand with the Lashem in it. The Im bimino shel Skan Ola, if the Skan is the one to have drawn the Gorol with the Lashem on it, so Roish Beis Av Oimer Lo L'Kohen Gadol Daber Milcha, then the Roish Beis Av says to the Kohen Gadol, say your word, say Lashem Chatos. So this is a bit indirect. The Roish Beis Av tells the Kohen Gadol to say his word, V'neim Ole Skan. Why doesn't the Skan tell the Kohen Gadol to announce Lashem Chatos? Why is it the Roish Beis Av, who is less associated, he's not drawing anything to begin with? So the Gemara answers with a word of psychology. Kevon delo solik biyodei, since the Kohen Gadol did not draw the Lashem in his right hand, cholsha daite, the Kohen Gadol will feel upset if the Skan, who did choose the Lashem in his right hand, if the Skan speaks directly to the Kohen Gadol. So we want to avoid this clash, if you will, and have the Roish Beis Av, who is a more removed party, him telling the Kohen Gadol to announce Lashem Chatos. B'mai komifligi. What is the underlying point of machlokis between the Braisa and the Mishnah? In the Mishnah we saw the Kohen Gadol drawing both lots, and in the Braisa we see two people, the Skan and the Kohen Gadol, involved in drawing the lots. So more sovar, yamino de Skan odif mismole de Kohen Gadol. The figuring of the Braisa, namely Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, figures that the right hand of the Skan is of greater significance than the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. So we don't want to have the Kohen Gadol using both of his hands. Only the Kohen Gadol's right hand is represented here. Umor Savar, our Mishnah holds Ki Hadodi Ninu. They are of equal significance, so therefore the Kohen Gadol does everything. Uman Hai Tano de Polig Oleg Rebuta. Namely, who is the Tana? The Mishnah doesn't have a name in it, so who is the name behind our Mishnah that holds that the Skan has no role to fulfill, no actual role? In other words, the Skan is an appointed individual who's there for potential service alone. But as far as actual role is concerned, he has no actual role to fulfill. So who is that? Well, ironically, maybe Rabbi Chanino Skan HaKohanim, who? It's Rabbi Chanino, who was a Skan HaKohanim. Tesani Rabbi Chanino Skan HaKohanim Omer, Lomo Skan Miyamin. Why is the Skan there to the Kohen Gadol's right? There are, in the Rashi, there are two Pshotim on this Miyamino. So if you look in Rashi across from here, a couple lines up, that is, Lomo Skan Mimino, Shaholech Tomi Limino, Kach omru b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi. The word miyamino means to his right. Why is the skan always walking to his right? Vani shamati, Rashi says, Mirabenu Yitzchak bar Yehuda. I heard from another source, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yehuda, lomaskan mimuneh. Why he appointed the word miyamino from an expression meaning mimuneh, appointed. Shimira psul, if a psul develops, if a disqualification develops, so the skan will take over. Avol kolzman, Rashi goes on. Avol kolzman shelo yera bo psul, ein haskan oivet shum avoda ba'olam. As long as the kohen gadol remains qualified, the skan fulfills no service at all. So now we go back to our source, with Reb Chanina raising the issue of loma skan mimino or miyamin. Miyamin would mean to the right. Sheim yera bo psul b'kohen gadol. If a disqualification befalls the Kohen Gadol, nifnas skan umeshamish taftov, the skan enters and serves in his stead. But as Rashi explained, that as long as there is no disqualification, no psul in the Kohen Gadol, the skan does not do any avoda. And that is what was reflected in our Mishnah. Tanu Ravana, we have a Tanaic source. Take note of the fact that this source continues to the top line of Amud Beis. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, an introduction. Yerida Acharei Yomov Shel Shimon HaTzadik. A descent in terms of quality, a lowering of the generations following the years of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was a prominent figure in the Beis Hamikdash, a Kohen Gadol. We know from elsewhere that Shimon HaTzadik was Mishori Anshei Knesset Agdola. He was from the last of the members of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset Agdola. And he lived and functioned in the second Beis Hamikdash time period. The source will contain in it a number of markings. You'll see diamonds and double underlines, both series markings. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh note, the structural note, and we indicate that there is a connection between the markings you see here and the Gemara on Amud Beis. So, Sidra Shel Neis Ubrocha Bimei Shimon HaTzadik. These are a series of miracles and blessing in the years of Shimon HaTzadik. In our note, we indicate that Ayin Omid Beis Brisa Shalmem Shana Lefnei Achurban. There is a Tanaic source on Omid Beis that describes the time period of 40 years before the Churban. Now, Shimon HaTzadik lived many years before this, but at the period of time of 40 years prior to the Churban, some secular calendars would have that dated as, let's say, 30 of the Common Era, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era. So 40 years before its destruction would put you at year 30 of the Common Era. So that is what the Brisa refers to, Al Hafsokas Habrochas HaMesumonos Gamkein Be, with the diamond. The end of the brochas, the total end of the brochas. So what we're going to see in the general scheme of things is that during the time of Shimon HaTzadik, there was a constant brocha, a constant blessing, and those, what exactly they are, be explained by the source here. So there was constant blessing. Then there was a period of time following Shimon HaTzadik called the interim period, when sometimes the respective blessings were present and sometimes not. And then there was the period of 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the blessings no longer present at all. So now we turn to the Gemara text, Tonu Rabbonan. Arboim Shana Sheshimei Shimon HaTzadik, the 40 years that he served as Kohen Gadol, Hoya Goro Ola B'yamin. The Gorol would always come up in his right hand, the Kohen Gadol's right hand. Mikan Ve'elech, beyond that, after he left office, after he passed away, Pa'omim Oyla B'yamin, Pa'omim Oyla B'smal. Sometimes it continued in the Yamin and sometimes not, and they left. V'hoya Loshon Shel Zahoris Malbin. The Loshon Zahoris is a reference to a crimson strip of wool. It's a dyed wool, dyed red, and miraculously, this dyed wool, when attached, it was attached to the Soya Mishtaleach, and as it was tossed over the cliff, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted atonement and forgiveness, it would miraculously turn white. That's Malbin. So during his reign, or his office of Kohen Gadol, it turned white. Very positive thing. Mikan Velech, after that, Pomin Malbin, Pomin Eino Malbin. Sometimes it turned white and sometimes it did not. And the lack of its turning white was a bad sign. It's a sign that Kodesh Baruch Hu was not totally forgiving. The Gemara continues with another miracle. The Hoya Ner Mavi Dolek. The Ner Maravi is translated as the western candle of the candelabra, but truth be told, it wasn't literally the most western candle of the seven branch candelabra. There are two opinions as to what it was, but we don't have to get into that right now. Rashi does, however. The Ner Maravi remained burning, even though it had the same amount of fuel, of oil, in it as the other six candles. The other six candles would burn through the night and continue burning into the early hours of the morning, and that was it. The western candle, this Ner Maravi, miraculously, and this was a miracle, and that's what we're telling you here, that during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzaddik, it burned through the day, till the late afternoon. Mikan Velech, after Shimon HaTzaddik, Pomim Dolek, Pomim Kova. Sometimes it would continue burning, and sometimes not. V'hoya Esh Shel Ma'arocha Misgaber. The fire of the altar fireplace would miraculously not need any fuel added to it in the afternoon, after the Mizbeach was burning all day with Korbanos being offered. Now this fireplace of the altar, the Eishel Ma'arocha, it misgaber means it had an increased strength. It means it continued burning without the need to continue adding fuel to it throughout the day. The kainim had no need to bring eitzim, that's wood, the fuel for the marocha, except for the two boards that were customarily placed every afternoon on the fireplace, kedei l'kayim mitzvas eitzim, in order to fulfill the Torah's commandment of placing wood, so that in effect they would set up a fireplace in the early morning hours, and that was enough to fuel the fireplace throughout the day without the need to add any fuel in the course of the day. The Gemara continues that Mikan Ve'elech, after Shimon HaTzaddik, Pa'omim Mizgaber, Pa'omim Ein Mizgaber. Sometimes it continued in strength and sometimes not, necessitating the adding of fuel in the course of the day. V'lo hoyu kohanim nimnoim milavi eitz marcha kol hayom kulo. And in the case of Ein Mizgaber, so the kohanim were, now here's a double negative, they were not withheld. In other words, they were not withheld from bringing wood, they had to bring wood throughout the day. Now during Shimon HaTzaddik, v'nishtalcha brocha ba'oimer v'shelechem olechem aponim, during his realm, there was a brocha, there was blessing in these meal offerings. The omer was a barley offering brought on Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan. Shtei halechem was a double loaf offering brought on Shavuos, and lechem aponim was the weekly 12 loaves that stood in the Heichal, and they were divided out amongst the kohanim that were in the Beis Hamikdash. V'chol kohen shemagio kezayis, and any kohen who would receive an olive quantity of these breads, Yesh ochlo v'sovev, yesh ochlo. Most here, there were those that would eat it and feel a sense of satisfaction. Even though you're dealing with a relatively small amount, it's an olive quantity, and that would be enough to create satisfaction. And there were those, yesh ochlo, most here, there were those that would eat part of it and leave over the rest. And this is all a function of a great bracha that existed on these meal offerings. Mikan ve'elech, nishtalcha me'era, bo'mer v'shtelech lechem aponim. Beyond Shimon HaTzadik, Me'era is, Rashi says, She'enu Mazbil. Now the word Me'era is, in other contexts, means a curse. In this context, it means that it no longer satisfied them. There was no longer satisfaction in that, in the portion that one got from the Omer Shtei Lechem and Lechem upon V'chol Kohen Magio Ke Pool. And the amount that each coin would receive was the size of a pool, as a bean, smaller than a zayas. And hatsnuim moshrin es yadeim, the humble ones, the pious ones, wouldn't even take a portion. They withdrew their hands from receiving a portion. The hagar geronim noitlin ve'oichlim, and the ravenous ones would take and eat it. Umaisa be'echot shenot al chelko v'chelik chavero. There were those that. There was once an individual who took his own portion and his friend's portion. He took someone else's portion. V'hoyu kirin oisoi ben chamson ad yoy moiso, and they called him a thief until the day of his death. And here the word chamson was used in the source where at the top of Omid Beis, Omar Rabo Bar Rav Shilo, my craw. What is the pasuk that reflects Chamson as a gazlan? The pasuk says in Tehillim, Elokai palteni miad rosha mikaf me'avel v'chometz, where David HaMelech is saying, save me, spare me from the hands of the wicked one, from the me'avel, from where avel is to, with an ayin, is to be a twister of justice, and chometz. Again, in this context, we're saying it means a thief. Rava Omar Mehocha, and Rava suggests another source for that. Limdu Hetev Dirshu Mishpat Ashru Chamotz. The pasuk says to learn well and seek out justice and strengthen the victim of theft. The word Chamotz is in the context of theft. The Rashi says that the next couple words that we have in brackets are not part of the girsa over here. Tonu Rabbanan. We continue with the next line. A Tanaic source, and on the side we have Shana Shemes Bo Shimon HaTzadik Yoda Shiyomus. The year that Shimon HaTzadik was going to die, he knew ahead of time. The Gemara tells us the story behind that. Tonu Rabbanan. Oysa Shana Shemes Bo Shimon HaTzadik. The year in which he passed away. Omar Lohem, he announced to them, Bishona Zu Hu Meis. Hu means in this case on himself. And this year he, on himself, he says, he will die. Omru Lo Minayin Atiyodeh, and they asked him, how do you know? Omar Lohem, Bechol Yoim HaKippurim, every Yom Kippur, Hoya Mizdamein Li Zokin Echod, there would appear the image of an old man, Lavush Levonim, V'otuf Levonim, who was dressed in white and cloaked in, wrapped in white, nichnas imi v'yotza imi. He would enter together with me to the Holy of Holies, the one day a year, i.e. Yom Kippur, in which the Kohen Gadol would enter the inner sanctum, and he would exit with me. Vayoim, this Yom Kippur, nizdamein lizokin echod, an old man appeared, lavush shchorim v'yotav shchorim. He was wearing black, nichnas imi v'loyotza imi, entered and did not exit. A clear sign that something negative was going to happen. Achar haregel chola shiva yomim, after the holiday, after Sukkot, he took ill 7 days, umes, and died. V'nimnu echov hakohenim milavorech b'shem, and the fellow kohanim withheld themselves from reciting the priestly benediction, the Birkas Kohanim, with the ineffable name. Rashi says, Shelo Hoyu Kedai. They didn't feel worthy. we continue, and notice we have diamonds appear again, and these highlight, as we have on the side of them under our Nosei Mivne heading, Mem Shana Kedem Churban Abayis, Hifsik Sidra Shonis, in the 40 years prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the miracles stopped. And here, as we said earlier, here it means they stopped altogether. Tanu Rabbanan, Arboim Shana Kedem Churban Abayis, Lo Hoya Goral Oli Bimin. The lot with Hashem did not come up on the right, in the right hand. V'lohaya Loshem Shalazoros Malbin. The crimson strip did not turn white. V'lohaya Ne'amar Avidolek. And the west candle of the menorah did not continue burning. V'hoyu Dalsus Heichal Niftochus Me'alan. And the doors entering the Heichal opened on their own. Ad She'go'ar Bohen Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Until he got angry at the doors, Omar Lo, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai addressed the Heichal and said, Heichal, Heichal, Mipnei Ma Ato Mavis Atzmecha. Why are you Mavis is an expression which in many contexts means fright. Why are you frightening yourself? Yodeani Boch Shesoifcha Osid Lichorev. I know that you are going to be destroyed. Ukvar Nisnabe Olecho Zecharia Ben Edo. And the prophet Zechariah has already prophesied, "Psach levonoin delosecha v'toichal esh barozecha." Here you see in the pasuk a reference to the opening of the doors. And Zechariah was a prophet at the very beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash period. And here we're dealing with the tail end of that very temple. So the pasuk says, "Psach levonon delosecha." Levonon is a word referring to the Beis Hamikdash. Open your doors and have the fires consume your wood. So the prophet already prophesied that, but so once it's known, it's known. There's the but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is addressing Neichon, saying you have to go further and bring it on yourself, so to speak. You have to frighten yourself by opening your doors automatically. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok ben Tavloi, Loma Nikro Shmo Levanon. Why is the word Levanon used as a reference to the Beis Hamikdash? Answer: Shemalbin Avinoisem Shel Yisrael. The word Levanon, you can see, has as its root the word Lavan. It whitens, it cleanses Israel of its sins through the sacrifices that are brought in the Beis Hamikdash. There is atonement for sins. Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Loma Nikro Shmo Yaar Dichtiv Beis Yaar Halavanon. Why is the Beis Hamikdash also referred to by the term Yaar? Yaar means a forest, many many trees. Why is the term Yar associated with the Beis Hamikdash? Lomar Loch, it teaches us, Ma Yar Melavlev, Af Beis Hamikdash Melavlev. Just like a Yar blossoms forth, the trees grow and blossom forth, so too in the Beis Hamikdash. What blossoms in the Beis Hamikdash? The Omar Rav Shaya, Bishal Shibon Shlomo Beis Hamikdash. When Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, he was the one that physically built the first temple. Nota boi kol minei megodim shel zov. He planted a number of megodim, sometimes means delicacies, dainties. In this case, it means it's a reference to trees. He planted special trees of gold. Vayomotziim peros bizmanehem, and in their season, it produced fruit, golden fruit. The kevan shiruch min hashavas bohen. And once the wind blows, how you know Shaper Sam, that would cause the fruits to fall off. In other words, they didn't pick the golden fruits at a particular point in time. In other words, the issue of ripeness here and edibility is not a concern. So they relied on the wind to knock them off when they were fully grown. Shinemar, and the posuk indicates this, Yirash Kelavanon Piryo. The Yirash means, has to do with noise. You can imagine like the clanging of the golden fruits, the fruit of Levanon of the Beis Hamikdash. Umehen Hoysa Parnosa La Kehanim, and that was the source of support for the Kehanim. Vekevan Shinichnesu Oivde Kechavim Lehechal. Yavshu, and when the idol worshippers entered the Beis Hamikdash, they dried out. As far as what point in time is this, so the entrance of the of the Ovdei Kochavim is a reference to, according to some Meforshim, a reference to Menashe, who was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech at the end, toward the end, the latter part of the first Beis HaMikdash, who was himself an idol worshipper. We continue. Shenemar, the posuk that indicates this, uforach levanon umlal, that uperach levanon umlal, the flowers of levanon will umlal, is to become destroyed or dried out. The osir hakadosh baruch hu zeiron lanu, in the future the kadosh baruch hu will return them. So the idea of money growing on trees is something that once was and will be. Shenema poroyach tifrach v'sogel avgilas v'ranin kvod halavanon nitan lo. This pasuk is, as you can see, the words poroyach tifrach, there will be a blossoming forth and joy in the honor of the Beis HaMikdash will be restored. Nosnon al shnei hasir, the Mishnah mentioned the placing of the lots on the two goats. The lot, one was Lashem, and that would be the goat designated as a formal sacrifice brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and the other, Lazozel, the sent away goat carrying the sins of Israel for their atonement. Tanu Rabbanan, Eser Pomim, Maskir Kohen Gadol Es Hashem Bo Bayom. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol mentions the ineffable name 10 times. Shalosh Bevidui Rishon, Shalosha Bevidui Sheni, Shalosha Vesorah Mishtalech, V'Echod Begorolos. And how this breakdown is takes place, it actually takes place. So Rashi makes a reference to this. You can see on the narrow lines, the second narrow line of Rashi, Shalosha Bevidui Rishon, Shel Par. The Vidui Rishon is a reference to the confession on the over the cow sacrifice. That's the Kohen Gadol's personal offering. Ono Hashem Chotosi, Ono Hashem Kaper, and Lefnei Hashem Titaro. Rashi's quoting it in a somewhat abbreviated fashion, but you can easily open up a Yom Kippur Machzor, the prayer book used on Yom Kippur, and see the more complete text. So there were three references, and we've double underline them in the Rashi, so you can easily see that there were three. And then there was likewise three at the second confessional, and then there was three over the send away goat, and one at the lot drawing where he announced Lashem Chatos Ukfar Omar Hashem V'nishma Kolo Biricho. The Kohen Gadol would make mere mention of the ineffable name, and his voice was heard far away in the town of Yericho. So, as far as what's the distance, that will be the subject of the Gemara. On the side of Gemara, we make reference to the upcoming topic that will appear shortly in the Gemara, Divrei Pele Hakshurim Laktores Ve'od. Amazing things that are associated with the incense offering and other amazing things. So, we continue in the Gemara, Omar Rabo Bar Chano, Yerushalayim Yericho Asura Parsos. The distance between Yerushalayim and Yericho was 10 parsa. Now each parsa is 4 meal, and a meal is 2,000 amos, giving us a feeling of one meal would be the equivalent of a kilometer. One meter having 2 amos, so 2,000 amos would be 1,000. 1,000 meters. 10 parsa is 40 kilometers. So Rabbo tells us that the distance from Yerushalayim to Yericho was 10 parsa, 40 kilometers, and the source we just said that the voice of the Kohen Gadol would be heard from the Beis HaMikdash to Yericho. V'tzio dasa echo nishma b'shmoina tchumei Shabbos. The opening of the gates of the Heichal on its hinge, the tzir is the hinge, that noise, that sound could be heard at a distance of 8 Tchumei Shabbos. A Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos. So that's 8 Tchumei Shabbos would be 16,000 amos. Now, we continue. Izim Shebiricho Hayom Is Ashtois Mireach Akteris. The goats in Yericho would sneeze upon perceiving the smell of the Ktoris. The Ktoris was offered in Yerushalayim. Noshim Shebiricho Einon Sriches Lisbasem. Women folk of Yericho had no need for putting on perfume Mireach Akteris, because the smell of the Ktoris was so well perceived in Yericho that the women folk had no need for adding perfume. Kalo Shibushalim Einot Sricho this kashet me reach kataras. A bride in Yerushalayim had no need for perfuming herself because of the fragrance felt from the kataras. There is a discussion in the Tosfos over here, is that how could this be? That we know that koil ma'ariv reach, even though there's no mi'ilah violation, nevertheless there is a prohibition of benefiting from it on a personal level. So that topic is discussed. You can look in the Tosfos for his explanation, the second Tosfos here. But we'll continue in the Gemara. Omar Rebbe, you have a girsa that reads Eliezer ben Degloi, Izim Hoyu La'abo Bahare Michvor. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Degloi tells us that father had goats in the mountains of Michvor, and they sneezed as a result of the scent from the incense offering. Omar Rabbi Chiyo bar Avin, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, Soch li Zokein Echad. So Rabbi Chiyo tells over that something that he had heard in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, that an old man told him, Pam achas halachti l'shiloi. Once I was walking in Shiloh. Now Shiloh was the site of the Mishkan that stood there for 369 years. So he says, I was walking there, Ve'rachti reach k'toras mibein kosle, and I perceived the scent of the k'toras from between the walls. At this point, this is hundreds and hundreds of years later, after the destruction of Shiloh, one would have to calculate the time between the destruction of Shiloh and Rabbi Shimon Korcha was, it's reasonable to assume it's well over 1,000 years, and yet the smell of the Ktoris was still perceived. We have a slash mark indicating that which follows represents a new idea, new trend of thought. We're going to discuss now on a halachic basis the issue of drawing the lots and how binding that aspect of the Yom Kippur service was. So on the side of the Gemara we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we also indicate that this is until Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. That means a very long topic. Here we are just on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and this topic continues till then. Machloikis Amoroyim, there will be an Amoraic controversy. I Alias Goyrol Mitoch HaKalfi Me'akeves. Does the drawing of the lot from the urn, is that something that's binding? In addition to discussing the drawing of the lot, we're also going to entertain the scenario of lots being drawn and the issue of then placing the lot on the animal. We'll call that hanocha. Is even if you, let's say, hold that the drawing of the lot is binding, is it necessary to place the lot on the back of the animal? And if you say that the drawing of the lot is not binding, so then the determination of which goat is going to be which, fulfill which role, is going to be Lashem or Lazazel, so then apparently an oral declaration would be enough. This topic, by the way, of Goyrolos as being a Koivea, is something that you find alluded to in numerous different Gemaras throughout the Shas. The Gemara, as we said, will open up with a Machloikes Amoroyim. Following that, there will be an analysis, and the analysis is introduced with a bow tie, and you can see there are two Loshonos in the Gemara. There's number one here and a few lines later, There is, as I should say, actually, there's an Aleph version here, and later a Beis version that's highlighted with an Ikar D'Amri. You can see this five lines from the bottom at the beginning of the line, and it will moderate the Machlokes Amoroim between Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan. Their Machlokes exists within only one of two Tanaic opinions. There are Tanoim that address this issue in a general sense, and we will then fit in to that Tanaic controversy, then fit in the Machlokes Amoroim that we are going to learn. So on the side, we've written, after the bow tie appears, Aliba, which is the word we highlighted, Machlokes Amoroim, Reb Yanai, Reb Yochanan, Hino, Besoch, Shito, Achas, Min HaTanoim. Their Machlokes exists within one of the Tanoim, Rebbe Nechemia, Oi, Rebbe Yehuda. And we will use a double underline to highlight the expressions Kule Alma versus Kipli. Kule Alma is, on a certain point, there's agreement, and Kipligi indicates when is there the Machloikes. With all that in mind, we turn to the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yanai, Alias Goyrol Mitoch Kalfi Me'akeves. Hanocha Eino Me'akeves. Alias means the raising of the Goyrol, in simpler terms, the drawing of the lot from the urn, is an absolute necessity, is ma'akefes, it's binding. In other words, if you don't do that, so the service is unfit. Hanocha eino ma'akefes, the placing of the gorolos, the lashem on the animal next to where that appeared, and the lazozel next to the animal that it appeared, is not binding. Rabbi Yochanan Omar af aliyo eino ma'akefes. Rabbi Yochanan is more, let's say, lenient, and he says that even the drawing is not ma'akev. And according to this approach, if the Kohen Gadol mentions the chatos on one and the azazel on the other, that is enough to establish which animal will fill which role. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda de Omar. Now here we're going to allude to a machlokes tanoim. Now this machlokes tanoim, this happens from time to time in the Gemara, that it makes the assumption that we're familiar with the machlokes tanoim, and rightfully so. We should all be expert in the Mishnayos before learning even one daf of Gemara. But Rashi is aware of the possibility that not everyone is so conversant, and he gives you the background. So before we do the Gemara, let's take advantage of Rashi's background assistance. Halfway down the page, Rashi Aliba Dribuda, Beperikotziulo, in one of the upcoming Prokem, Perikotziulo, on Daf Samach, Pligi Rabbiuda Rabbi Nechemio, Im Shino Beseder Avodos. If the Kohen Gadol switches around the order of the activities, and Lahakti Mesem Uchar, to perform a later function, a later service earlier than it should have been done. The Omer Rabbi Nechemia says, Kol Seder Avodos Hashanasas Bigdei Lavan, all services that are done while wearing the white clothing. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, for some of the services, he wears his eight, what's known as the Bigdei Zav, the eight golden standard daily Kohen Gadol garb, and for some of the services, he wears the four white linen clothing that are reserved for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur for some of that day's services. So Rabbi Nechemia says all of the avodos, all of the services that are done in white, bein bifnim, kagon lifnei lifnim, whether it be those things that are done in the inner of inners, the inner sanctum, the Kiddush Kedoshim, which involves the burning of the Ketores, bein mibachutz, kagon behechal o bazora, or outside means in the Heichal, where the golden altar is with the menorah, that area, or the azor in the courtyard, me'akev, the seder, the order of things that are done in while wearing white, wherever he would be, the seder, the order is me'akev. The chuka, the ksiva binyona d'achremos. The word chuka is a word in the Torah, chukas oilam. You might see that word chuk or chuka indicates something that is binding. So the word chukah alayu ksiva is in regard to the activities he does while wearing white clothing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo ksiva chukah, the word chukah indicating bindingness is applicable ela bedvarim nasim b'gdeilavim mibefnim. That applies only to the activities done inside. Hilkoch hagrola she einor asis b'fnim ela mibachutz. Therefore, the drawing of the lots, which doesn't take place in the inner sanctum, it takes place in the courtyard. The Rebbe Yehuda Yamar advarim shnasim mibachutz lo ksiva chukah. According to Rebbe Yehuda, that says that the word chukah doesn't apply. The word chukah, which indicates something is binding, but it doesn't apply, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, to things that are done in the courtyard. And the drawing of the lot is done in the courtyard, so it's not binding. So that is what our Gemara is going to point out right now. So let's go to the bow tie in the Gemara. Number one, Aliba de Rebbe Yehuda, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda Domar, that says later in the Masechta, Dvorim Anasim Bebig Deilovin Mibachutz, Lo ma'akfa, activities done, although they're done in white clothing, but they're done mibachutz, they're done in the courtyard. Lo ma'akfa, they're not binding. So kulei alma, our amoroim, these later rabbinic figures who had their machlokes, lo pligi de lo ma'akfa, they're not arguing. Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan, who speak about the drawing of the lot, whether it's binding or not, they're not claiming their respective opinions within the earlier authority of Rebbe Yehuda. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's clear that it's not binding. And Rav Yanai, who spoke about it being binding, he wasn't saying it within the early Tanaic opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Ki pligi, when is it that they, the Amoroim, Rebbe Yanai and Rebbe Yochanan, argue? Haliba de Rebbe Nechemya. Their argument is within the Tanaic opinion of the earlier Tana Rebbe Nechemya. Ma domer ma'akfa, Rabbi Yanai, who says that the drawing of the lot is binding, ki Rabbi Nechemya, straight out, with conformed to Rabbi Nechemya very smoothly. After all, as we said, we're being a little repetitious, we saw in the Rashi that the drawing of the lot was done in the courtyard while wearing the white clothing, and Rabbi Nechemya says that things like that, the word chukah of the Torah applies to them. And chukah means something that's binding. Uman yomar lo ma'akfa, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the drawing of the lot is not binding, and he's saying it within Rabbi Nechemya, Hani Mili Avoda, when is something binding? That's when you are dealing with an actual sacrificial service, Avoda, associated with the offering of sacrifices. Hagrola Lav Avodahi, but the drawing of the lots is not classified as an Avoda. Hence, even the Tana, Rabbi Nechemya, would concede that the drawing of the lots, the agrola, is not binding. Iko di Amri. And now we have another version, and this will be in the direction of Chumrah, more restrictive. Alibo de Rabbi Nechemya de Amr Ma'akfa, according to Rabbi Nechemya, that says that things that are done in the white, while wearing the white clothing in the courtyard, those activities are binding. So kulei alma lo pligi de Ma'akfa, everyone, even Rabbi Yochanan, will concede that the drawing of the lot is binding. Ki pligi aliva de Rabbi Yehuda, the machlokis Rav Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan is within the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Man yomar loy ma'akva ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the drawing of lot is not ma'akev, that conforms to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the concept of something binding applies only to the inner sanctum, and this is done in the courtyard. Man yomar me'akva, Rabbi Yanai, who says that the drawing of the lot is binding, and he says that within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, within the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Shaini Hocha, this case of Hagrola is different. In other words, it's true that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, says that things done in the courtyard are not binding, in terms of their order is not binding, or the necessity is not binding. Here, by the Hagrola, it's different. The Tana Bei Kro Tana, the Tuf interchanges with the letter Shin, which Shona would mean something that for Sheni, Shnayim, something that's doubled. The Torah, the Kro, the Pasuk, doubles the need for drawing a lot. Asher Ola, Tre Zimliat. The expression Asher Ola, which means that he raises from the urn, appears twice, indicating it must be done. So that you have Rabbi Yanai saying it's Makev, even within the Tana of the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who would acknowledge the Pasuk repetition. Mesve. Triangles appear. They begin to appear here. And you'll notice on the side, we have a triangle with the point facing up. Simen Shagrola Lo Ma'akva. That would be Neged Reb Yanai. Inverted triangles that will appear. And as we said, this sugya, this discussion goes on for a while. And when you notice an inverted triangle, so that will... that will be against Rabbi Yochanan, and it will be a simon that the Hagrola is Ma'akev. And we mentioned earlier that this discussion goes till Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, so the use of triangles will continue. You'll notice we have a numbering scheme also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. A number 1 appears here, and on Mem Amid Aleph you'll see 2 and 3, and when you get to Mem Aleph Amid Beis, 4, 5, and 6 appear, with the 6 continuing to the top of Mem Aleph Omid Aleph. So this is a long discussion, and of course in the context of the Daf Yomi Shir, we're only going to be able to start this series of challenges and leave the rest for Mirtz Hashem the next Shir. So let's continue. Meisve. The triangle already introduces a source that's going to be a problem for Rav Yanai. This source will show that the Hagrola is not Me'akev. Meisve, mitzvah lahagril, the imlo higril, kosher. The best way to do things is to draw the lots, but if he doesn't do it, it's okay. Bishlamo lahach lishna, the amris. Lahach lishna is a reference to the aleph of the two lishonas we had in the last 8 lines of Gemara. We had an aleph and an ikah of the amri. Bays. So the Aleph approach, the Amris, in which we said, Aliva de Rebuta Kuliamalo Pligi de Lo Ma'akva, that according to all, meaning Reb Yanai and Reb Yochanan, Reb Yehuda would tell you that the Hagrola is not binding. Ha money, Reb Yehuda, this source that says in Lo Hegru Kosher will be according to Reb Yehuda. So no problem if you accept the first Loshon, the Aleph version. Continuing at the top of Daf Mem Omed Aleph, Elo Lahach Lishna the Amris Pligi, but according to version Beis, within the Tano Rebbe Yehuda, we said in version Beis there would be a Machlokis. In version Beis, according to the Tana Rebbe Nechemya, everyone will agree it is binding. So there's no point of discussing the opinion of Rebbe Nechemya, because this Tanaic source that we're introduced with the triangle says it's not binding. So to fit that into Rebbe Nechemya, no chance. However, what about fitting that source, the triangle source that said in Lo Higru Kosher, to within the Tana Rebbe Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Lahach Lishna, the second version, Damaris Pligi, that we said that Reb Yochanan and Reb Yanai argue within Reb Yehuda. Bishlamo lemandomer lo ma'akva hamani Reb Yehuda. According to Reb Yochanan, that said it's the drawing is not binding, so Reb Yochanan will be able to tell you that this source is a Reb Yehuda Tanaic source. So we have an author, no problem. Elo lemandomer ma'akva. But according to Rabbi Yanai, that says that the drawing vat is ma'akev according to everybody, including Rabbi Yehuda, and certainly Rabbi Nechemya Hamani, who will the author of this source be? Rabbi Yanai will answer that you have to understand the source differently. Tani mitzvah lahaniach. Instead of saying mitzvah lahagril, the word lahagril is not a reference to the drawing of the lot, but it would be a reference to the placing of the lot. And as far as the placing of the lot on the animal's back, that's the mitzvah, that's the best thing to do. Ve'im lo hiniach kosher, and if he doesn't do it, we wrote that in between the lines, meaning, and if he doesn't do that, so it's still okay. In other words, the placing of the lot is not binding. However, the initial drawing is binding. As we said, we're in the middle of a discussion, and Mirtz Hashem, next time we'll have to somehow refresh our memories that we're dealing with the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai, regarding the drawing of the lots, is it binding or not? And we're going to introduce Tanaic sources, and as we see with our markings in both directions, either in the favor of Rabbi Yochanan or of Rabbi Yanai. And Amir Tzah Shem pick up this discussion next time. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.